All right. Good morning. We are in Lord's Day 20. God, the Holy Spirit. There's only one question today. Question 53, which we'll get to. But before we begin, John, would you pray for us? Please, would you pray for us? Amen. Okay, so we're still in the grace section of the catechism. We're still kind of expositing the Apostles' Creed. So I just want to remind us where we are with the Apostles' Creed and what we're going to be talking about today. And in question answer 23 from Lord's Day 7, we talk about what must a Christian believe? What are these articles? And here's the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. And this is where we are today. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So let's jump back to question, or Lord's Day 20. So we've just said in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And the question is, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? So I have, 20 minutes. That question could go for the eternity, right? Really, eternity. So let's stick to the script here. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Answer, first, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that the Spirit is given also to me so that through true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. So let's just look at a few things here. The first thing is this. When we look at the Apostles' Creed and how things are broken down, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, right? God the Father got two Lord's Days in this. Jesus the Son got nine, and it looks like the Holy Spirit gets one. I mean, are we like Holy Spirit deficient or something? Here, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, well, you guys, you know, you Reformed guys, you have no idea about the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look actually what the Catechism says about the Spirit before we go into this, because I think it's very instructive for us that the Catechism has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. And let's start right at Lord's Day 1. And we read in Lord's Day 1. So if you want to flip real quickly, that'd be great. We're going to go actually in numeric order, and I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. But Lord's Day 1, we read that near the end of this Lord's Day, in this question 1, we read that because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. So we see assurance. We see comfort. Lord's Day 3. In Lord's Day 3, we see that we are totally unable to do any good and we are inclined toward all evil unless we're born again by the Spirit of God. Regeneration. Right? Lord's Day 25. We read about the Holy Spirit producing faith in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel, and then confirming it by the use of the sacraments. We also read that in the gospel, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and by the holy sacraments, confirms that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. We see that the Holy Spirit teaches and confirms. Lord's Day 26, we learn that in baptism, we're washed in Christ's blood and spirit. Answer 70 says, to be washed with Christ's spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed and sanctified us to be members of Christ, so that more and more we become dead to sin and live holy and blameless lives. Sanctification. Right? We see this work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification in this catechism here. Lord's Day 30 repeats that we're grafted into Christ through the Holy Spirit. That was question 80. Lord's Day 32 shows us how to think about good works. Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also restoring us by his spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, so that he may be praised through us. So the Holy Spirit is doing that work in us, restoring us into Christ's image. Again, sanctification there and renewal. Lord's Day 45 teaches that God will give his grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask him for these gifts and thank him for them. Lord's Day 48 has the prayer, so rule us by your word and spirit, that more and more we submit to you. So he's working holiness in us, right? And that Lord's Day 52 has the prayer in answer 127, will you therefore uphold and strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that in this spiritual war we may not go down to defeat. Catechism has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit, right? We are not Holy Spirit deficient here in our beliefs, nor is the Catechism Holy Spirit deficient. But I want to make sure here at the beginning, we are not this morning going to enumerate every single way that the Holy Spirit works and give an exhaustive treatment of all the gifts and how that works in our lives. I want to stick again to what the Catechism is saying here. So let's go back to Lord's Day 20 and let's look at the first section, the first statement here. First, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. So here's what we're not saying. Holy Spirit's just a force. He's a force in the air somewhere. He's God's power. I don't know, some kind of nebulous. No, he's God. He's God. He's God. So let's go to Scripture. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Matthew 28:19. In the Great Commission here, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 5:3-4. Again, we're looking at the Holy Spirit is God. But Peter said, Ananias, this is Acts 5, verses 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You can't just lie to a force, right? He says right here, Peter's saying, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remains unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So we see the beginning. Ananias, why Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to a man, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. Right there we see that. So the first statement that we have, first, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. And also that the Catechism, I believe it's somewhere around Lord's Day 8. Even in talking about how the articles are divided, the articles of the confession here, I mean of the Apostles' Creed, the three parts, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So even the Apostles' Creed that we're looking at and have been breaking down is divided into that and states, Holy Spirit is God. Okay, that's the first thing that we have to get out of the way. and we have to confirm and believe. Second, and this is going to be the crux of the matter today, where I think that if we're going to get bound into thinking about the Holy Spirit and not go down rabbit trails, and what do I mean by rabbit trails? Well, just some type of miraculous blessing, some type of healing if I pray with enough faith. You know, again, this whole idea of the Spirit as some kind of force. Well, no, the Holy Spirit's God. And let's think about what we know to be true. He makes me share in Christ and all his benefits. This is where we could camp out and where we should, I think. So what does that mean, the benefits of Christ? Well, I think we could see the benefits of Christ and we could add in the gospel. Okay? So what are the benefits then of the gospel? Before I tell you four that are applied by the Holy Spirit, why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Yeah. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We should stand up and cheer in that, right? This is what the Holy Spirit has done. These are benefits of the gospel. Being washed, being sanctified, being justified, right? And here are four benefits that kind of go along with that. Benefits of the gospel that are applied by the Holy Spirit. Justification. Applied by the Holy Spirit. So what is justification? What's justification? I mean, we throw it, again, church words, throw it out there. Probably need to know what it is. Okay, forgiveness of sin. Legal declaration.
You're justified because you're right in the eyes of God.
Very good. Okay, so removing guilt and penalty for sin, and at the same time declaring one righteous, that someone's righteous through Christ's atoning sacrifice. How is righteousness credited to us? By what? Or through what? Good. And through something alone. Faith. Faith, okay? And who works the faith in us? Holy Spirit. Okay, so benefits of the gospel. Benefits of the gospel, we have justification. this removing of guilt and penalty for sin. We have reconciliation, benefit of the gospel. We're reconciled to God. What does that mean? You were not his enemies. We're at peace with him now. This is a great thing. We shouldn't be at peace with him. Because remember what 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10 talked about. But then in 11, and such were some of you. So we were those things, but we're not anymore. Because we've been justified, we're reconciled. Redemption. Benefits of the gospel applied to us. We've been redeemed. What's redeemed mean? Okay, good. Purchased. How? By the blood of Christ, right? Through the one atoning sacrifice on the cross, through the blood of Christ, there's been a payment made for our sin. We have been redeemed, bought back from slavery to sin, dead, made alive, again, redeemed, right? And then, how about this beautiful one? Adopted. Here's a benefit of Christ. We've been adopted. There's adoption here. And what does adoption mean? We are his children, heirs. What would adoption mean in our society? Okay. Good. Welcomed into a family that wasn't yours. And wasn't yours biologically. And you receive the benefits of that. And here's another word. I thought about this when I was thinking about adoption this week. You're now the child of God legally. How can he adopt us if there's not a righteousness for us that's not our own? I mean, he couldn't, if there was no payment for sin made, if there wasn't a Savior, if there wasn't this work of God in justification, reconciliation, redemption, there wouldn't be adoption. Does that make sense? So we're legally now his because the law, legal demands against us were thrown on his son. So now we come to him righteous. And he says, son. Not just son, co-heir with Christ. Receiving all the benefits of the son. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. And this is from beginning to end. Our lives as Christians are all a work of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't come to Christ on our own. We can't regenerate ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves. We can't produce faith. We can't apply any of those things that Christ did to us. That can only happen, bless you, through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit's work. So if we were just to even just camp out there in thinking about the Holy Spirit, I mean, how many times people get wrapped around, you know, I've got this word for you from the Holy Spirit. You know where I'm going with this, right? Prosperity preachers, stuff, certain things just going crazy. How about we just camp out that the benefits of Christ are applied to us by the Holy Spirit? How amazing that is. I mean, that's, you want to talk about a miracle? How about regeneration, folks? Because I know myself. That's a miracle that only the Holy Spirit can do. That's it. That's it. And then the end of this, and I do want to get to some of these scriptures in here as well. But the end of this, sorry, let me get back to my page here. The Spirit's given also to me so that through true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me. He comforts me. How does he comfort you? How does the Holy Spirit comfort you? By the truth of the gospel. By reminding you of the benefits of Christ, which he's applied to you. And then what's another comfort within that? He's assuring us of eternal life with God. Right? Ephesians 1. 13 and 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. It's amazing stuff right there. It's amazing stuff. So, how are you assured then? Again, I don't want to belabor the point, but you know, we talk about, Matt just said, I'm assured because the Holy Spirit's reminding me of the benefits of the gospel. How are you assured? Well, I did pretty well this week, right? That's where we want to run. We want to run right back to the law. We want to run right back to ourselves and look to ourselves. Apart from God, can you do anything good? No. This is why the work of the Holy Spirit, our Christian lives are from beginning to end, and everything in between is a work of the Spirit. So if you're lacking assurance, I don't know if I have the Spirit in me. Do you believe the gospel? If you believe the gospel, you have the Spirit in you. Because what were you before belief in the gospel? You were what? Dead. Dead. And people that are dead can't discern things spiritually. That has to be a work of the Spirit for us to understand spiritual things. So the Spirit granted us life. How? How does the Spirit work? Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why we sing it, right? Now, your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me through the what? Gospel of your Son gave me endless hope and peace. That song is Oh Great God, by the way. I can't remember which verse, though. Maybe the first or second. I don't know. Anyway. So, at the end of the day, with the Holy Spirit, there's a lot that we can get wrapped up in. What gifts do I have? What gifts are used in the church today? Am I a continuationist? Am I a cessationist? I mean, if you're not understanding even what those terms are, it basically, do I believe that the gifts of the Spirit that are listed in the Bible are still for today? Or do I believe that with the closing of the canon, those gifts aren't needed anymore? All important stuff to think through. But don't put that as the cart before the horse. Think about what the benefits of the gospel are that the Holy Spirit applies to us. You want to know how the Holy Spirit works? The Holy Spirit works in applying the fruits of the gospel, the benefits of the gospel to you. He called you out of darkness. Right? He's the one that quickened your spirit, that gave you faith to believe, applied the work of the Son. And by the way, I love this. I don't think I made this up. Tom, I believe you said this last week. The Holy Spirit's not a free agent. Okay? Didn't you say that last week, Tom? I think you did. No, you didn't. Yeah. So, open up to John 16. Just as we close here, I just want to go to Jesus' words about the Holy Spirit. I think that would be instructive for us. John chapter 16. Let's start, I guess, in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's think about that for a second. What is the Holy Spirit doing here? I started in verse 7, by the way, and that was verse 8 in chapter 16. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Here's how he convicts: through the word. There is no one who's righteous, no, not one. And we believe this because the Holy Spirit helps us understand that we are the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. We are convicted of our complete, total inability and complete love of sin, our complete depravity. The Holy Spirit convicts us of that, right? Concerning sin, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And righteousness. Wait a second. If I am completely in sin, I can't even approach you, God. I don't have a righteousness. I can't do it. And judgment. And there's an eternal judgment coming on me. I will be eternally apart from Christ. Right? And not just judgment. Conscious torment, we believe, in hell for eternity. The Holy Spirit convicts us of that. Sin, righteousness, lack thereof, and judgment. But look how gracious the Holy Spirit is. Convicts us of that. And Jesus says in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Again, he's not a free agent here. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And here's where I want to stop. He will glorify me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Look at Christ. Look at the Son. Look at the benefits that I'm applying to you. They're his. This is what he did. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't shine the light on himself, saying, look at me and all the gifts I'm giving. Look at the Son who purchased life for you. If we're going to think about the Holy Spirit correctly, we have to start here. That the Holy Spirit applies the benefits of the gospel to us, the benefits of Christ. Now, we could talk about the other stuff later. But if understood correctly, this will give you great joy in God. Because the Holy Spirit is God. And his application of those benefits to us are life. They're life. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I'm going to start in 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, this is chapter 16 of John, and I'm done. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amazing work of the Holy Spirit. Incredible. All right, let's pray. Lord, these truths, it just seems that they're just even too beautiful for us to even be talking about. Who are we that we would have these benefits of the gospel, of what Christ has done? And yet, Father, you have seen fit to have the Holy Spirit apply those benefits to us. So, Lord, I pray that through the work of your Spirit this morning, we would look to Christ. We would see your Son exalted, ruling and reigning, and he would receive all the glory that the Son would be glorified. Lord, do that work in us by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.